Terrorism will be one of the major issues discussed at the G20 summit in Hamburg in Germany this week. The leaders attending will seek an agreement on combating terrorism financing, while Australia, as we've been discussing today, wants to see the technology giants pressured to allow access to potential terrorists' encrypted metadata. But who are the terrorists that they have in mind? And are we getting a true picture of terrorism and the people who are perpetrating it? A recent study from Georgia State University in the US suggests that what we hear and read about terrorism may not reflect reality, as Edwina Stott reports.
We will destroy radical Islamic terrorism.
The terror threat level is set at probable. But we will never, ever let the terrorists win.
This morning, our country woke to news of another terrorist attack on the streets of our capital city.
Terrorism is a word we are all too familiar with. But is the way it's being applied in the media moving our perception of terrorism away from reality? Erin Kearns is a postdoctoral research fellow in the Global Studies Institute at Georgia State University. Erin and her team have been studying how people perceive what is or isn't terrorism. The researchers looked at all cases in the US from 2006 to 2015 recorded on the Global Terrorism Database, and then compared the amount of media coverage each case received.
There's a couple of things that impact coverage as we found it. The most important piece that we found is whether or not the perpetrator is Muslim. So when the perpetrator is Muslim, even when you account for whether or not they target law enforcement or government, whether or not the perpetrator was arrested, and the number of fatalities, we're still seeing about a 350% increase in the amount of coverage for the perpetrator being Muslim versus the perpetrator not being Muslim. And we test that against a number of other potential explanations. We account for things like whether, you know, the perpetrator and motive are unknown. We account for the number of casualties. We remove two of the largest attacks to see if that's what's driving the results. And we find that across all of these different explanations, we're still finding this significant increase in coverage when the perpetrator is Muslim.
Erin and her colleagues believe this is having a profound effect on the way we perceive terrorism.
In a different study, my colleagues and I conducted experiments where we surveyed about a little over 2,000 people, and we gave them identical incidents, except for that we varied a couple factors. In some cases, we varied the perpetrator's identity. In half the cases, the perpetrator yelled, Allahu Akbar, and in the other half, the perpetrator yelled, Heil Hitler. Even when everything else is the same about the incident, when the perpetrator yelled, Allahu Akbar, participants were much more likely to say that that's terrorism, whereas when the perpetrator yelled, Heil Hitler, they were more likely to classify it perhaps as a hate crime or not be exactly sure what kind of incident that was. So we do see these differences at an individual level, but it's not clear how media impacts that directly.
Erin's research shows that there is a bias towards reporting incidents where the perpetrator is Muslim as terrorism in the US. But is the situation the same here in Australia?
It does appear to be so.
Dr. Alexandra Wake is a senior lecturer in journalism at RMIT University. She says this bias was evident in the reporting of last month's attack on a London mosque, where a man drove a van through a crowd leaving evening prayer, killing one and wounding several others.
That wasn't reported as a Christian man attacking the mosque. So I think that when people think that they're hearing the word Muslim more often, it certainly does appear to be so. Somehow we are now in a situation where the public is very concerned about the number of events that are caused by people of the Muslim faith. I think some of the media, not all of the media, feeds into that. Once something has made it into people's minds, it's very, very difficult to get rid of. And in fact, I've just been reading an interesting study on behavioural psychology, and the whole point of that is talking about how human judgment is disturbed by the memorable. So those events that are very vivid or very recent take on a greater significance in our brains and in our thinking. It becomes something more in your brain than it was. And there's also a confirmation bias, again, another trick of the brain, that once you think something is a particular way, all of a sudden your brain latches on to everything that makes you believe that that is the case.
Alex believes this bias is being supported by our personalised social media feeds.
There's this whole thing called echo chambers where, you know, if you're only looking at the news from Facebook, you're only looking at news that, you know, your friends are sharing or the news organisations that you've signed up to listen to or read or watch are actually there. And so you will only get a particular worldview. The tailored feeds is causing a huge problem for people's understanding of the world and world events. I deliberately have people on my feed whose views I do not necessarily agree with or endorse, but just to keep me mindful that other people do think in different ways.
So maybe the way we get around this perceived bias is to challenge it by deliberately exposing ourselves to new sources that may oppose our own worldview. That may be easier said than done.
Edwina Scott, that report, ending that report before her, Dr. Alexander Wake from RMIT University.